Okay, I admit it. Sometimes I do go into the YouTube rabbit hole where I watch video after video. And for that reason, I would encourage you to subscribe to the Focus Core YouTube channel. That way, if you also find yourself in that rabbit hole, that you'll have some of the best videos, podcasts and case studies about companies that are thriving in Japan, and you'll be able to see and hear these real life cases that are relevant to you and your business here. So take a moment, open up your app, and subscribe to the Focus Core YouTube channel. Now on to our podcast. Happy New Year and welcome to the Focus Core podcast, where we dive deep into leadership, talent, and the evolving world of business in Japan to help you focus in on your core business. My name's David Sweet. I'm the founder and CEO of Focus Core Japan, as well as the host of the Focus Core podcast. Welcome to 2026. I'm happy to be here and welcome you to the year. We have an exciting year of guests to welcome and to help give insight and tell their stories in the market and to help you make better decisions with your business in Japan. So I'm very excited to sit down with these leaders and speak with them. So that's coming up this year. So we will continue with that full lineup. And we're celebrating 15 years as a business this year. So very exciting times for Focus Core as well, that we've been able to make it a decade and a half in talent search in Japan. So very pleased with that. And before I jump into some of the insights for the year, there are three points that I would make to give a little bit of context. And these are all points that happened last year for Focus Core and kind of will shade a bit of what I'll be talking about today. So the first is that we became a partner company with IIC Partners Executive Search Worldwide, which is a global alliance of independent executive search and leadership consulting firms with over 40 offices across major markets. And basically, the mandate there is to connect member firms to deliver senior level recruitment solutions internationally and combining local expertise with global reach. And that really helps us here in Japan to be able to deliver those insights to our clients here in Japan, and to be able to see the much wider context as a global company. And so some of the things that I'll be talking about today reflect that. But on the flip side of that, we did our salary guide event last year. And at the release event at the French Chamber, one of the things that was very apparent was that many of the participants were grateful to have insights about small medium enterprises in Japan. There's a lot of data and information about companies and what's going on globally. There's also a lot of information about what's going on in Japan with Japanese companies. But for gaishike and smaller medium companies, there's just not a lot of data and a lot of information. And at Focus Core, we're very proud that we deliver a lot of those insights to our customers. And when they bring us in to deliver on a project, that we're able to give the global insights and how they reflect back on a local level. And I think that just having that local Japanese flavor with the global insight is very unique and helpful within the Japanese market. And then the third point that I would make is that the insights from our salary guide was that, having done the guide for 15 years, this was the first time where the number one factor for candidates to move companies was salary. And that's the first time to happen. It's always been other factors such as, working environment or career progression, the hiring manager. All those different nuances are always very important in Japan when talent decides to move to a different position, because the Japanese job market is conservative, and people, when they change jobs, are very conservative and much more particular than the rest of the world. However, that salary was the number one driver this year speaks to me that, one, the local economy in Japan is driving prices up. We saw last year where the price of rice was just exorbitant, and that for people to live, they wanted more money. And so those decisions by people looking to change jobs are important considerations for SMEs when they're hiring. And we'll talk more about that as we progress. So I've kind of looking at, five things that we can look at as far as insights. And I think the first one is looking at the macro view of the Japan's labor market. Again, Japan is always jobless rates low. Firms struggle to fill jobs. Past surveys, Reuters had a survey where they showed that 66% of companies felt a real strain in the demographics of hiring. And again, Japan's aging population, declining birth rate continue to just have a very lopsided supply side constraint on talent. And that means that the competition for high skills is fiercer than ever. So we see that quite a bit. And what that means is that how companies do their talent acquisition is shifting. And a lot of the large enterprise companies are putting together strong talent acquisition teams. The best teams that I've seen are the ones that are actively building out a bench and a pipeline of talent. The worst ones I see are very reactive and are just working on jobs and mandates that are happening right away and are always playing catch up instead of really doing some organizational development and some talent planning. So the takeaway for this, for a small medium business, is that to be able to compete with these enterprise companies, if they don't have a talent acquisition team, posting jobs on LinkedIn, posting jobs on BizReach or Indeed is just not going to cut it. That's fairly reactive. The quality of candidates coming off those job boards is fairly low. The best candidates for most of the positions that we see are highly skilled, and they're not on job boards. The best employees are probably already working and not thinking of changing jobs. And so to be able to build out a pipeline, small, medium enterprise companies need to do a couple of things. First, they need to curate that pipeline as soon as there's a plan to hire, probably even before that. If you have a finance and accounting team of five people, chances are you're going to have one person leave in the next 12 months for a variety of reasons, unforeseen reasons, not due to anything in the business. And if your HR director or your head of finance or the president is not meeting finance and accounting people all throughout the year, then there's going to be real challenges. The same is in other areas. Like, most companies are struggling for salespeople. I get calls 2-3 times a week for companies searching for strong salespeople at all different levels. And if the company isn't always looking for these salespeople, that when the position becomes available or open, it's going to be too late. So what I would recommend is that companies really look to spend time, valuable time, meeting people and meeting candidates and building that pipeline. The other part of that is making sure that you have a good recruiter who can help you, that is mature, who's in your industry, who is local, who's been around, knows the market, knows your market specifically, and knows your industry specifically. So you might have several search partners that your firm works with, and it might be for different positions. It might be for your industry specifically. It might be for different levels as well. And so it's important for you to maintain those strong local relationships as well, because the global search firms, they're very transactional, very good, but very transactional, and they're paid to, you know, make commission, and to do that, they need to go fish where the fish are, and it tends to be easy jobs in big companies. And so they're going to be matching off with these enterprise companies. Smaller companies should be looking to work with smaller search firms and build better partnerships, because that's where you'll find better solutions. The other thing is, if you're looking at executive search, building partnerships with companies outside Japan just doesn't work, because they don't know the uniqueness of the Japan market. We were working with one company who was working with a search firm out of Austin, Texas. Might be a really good company in Austin, Texas, but they don't know anything about the Tokyo market. And the people that they were going and speaking to for this country manager position were very much just kind of LinkedIn profiles, instead of really understanding who these people were. And one of my friends was approached by this company out of Austin, and they were just saying, I just am not this person for this job. And they were very surprised that the search firm was paid to actually question him for this position. So I guess the moral of that story is, you know, partner with local firms and continuously build those relationships. So that would be my number one point of the year. Second thing that I see that 2026, that's hot in this year of the fire horse, is a lot of searches around CFOs. CFOs are one of the, you know, strategic pillars of companies that are really navigating the change for companies. And we cover country manager roles, CFO roles, supply chain directors, HR directors. And I find that the finance roles are very critical, especially around governance, internal controls, and CFOs with cross-border dexterity. And there's been a real growth potential for these CFOs that can partner across the border and really help drive the business locally while balancing the needs of the international entity. And this is something that's will continue into 2026, but we saw happening in 2025. And what that means is there's two things. One, the local requirements for such a person often are different than the international requirements. And so when a company sits down to do a search, they need to make sure and get on the same page. Oftentimes, APAC or headquarters will want very different skill sets. And this only becomes apparent after interviews, oftentimes. And so a search could go on for 6 months when, if everybody is on the same page, honest about what the needs are up front, and kind of debate that ahead of time, that search time can be really dramatically lowered to a, you know, a 2 month, 3 month window. So cutting that time 50%, I think, is very important. And we talk about how long mandates are open in Japan. A lot of times they don't need to be open as long as they are. And one of these things is just doing that big groundwork ahead of time for these executive search mandates. So that would be one thing that I see that's hot around the CFO circuit. The second thing is a big flux of interim executives, and what they've been bringing to the market is fast, flexible leadership without long-term risk. And this appeals both to local and international hiring managers because they are able to bring in people that can hit the ground running or that are able to come in for a short time and help processes, help with transformations, help with rollouts. We've seen a lot of interim filling gaps for transformation. Last year, we're looking at SAP rollouts, AI rollouts, and digital supply chain redesign, HR transformation. So what we're seeing is that interim isn't just a stopgap, it's a strategic risk mitigation for companies. And this is really apparent around the CFO and interim CFOs and having these people come in, and they do a couple of things. Either they're on projects or they're coming in and really helping the company put in good processes and settle the business while they're bringing in and recruiting for someone that might be younger, who's more of a long-term solution for the company. Those were been the two things that have seen in the last year. The last thing that I would cover today is a couple of, you know, just factors from outside. We're talking about AI and tech, as well as political and economic forces that are shaping the industry in 2026. And AI tools and tech are, you know, we hear a lot about them. Definitely, there's a lot of rollouts happening within Japan, but it still seems Japan is much more conservative and slower on these, much more risk averse. And so I imagine that in 2026, it'll be a lot slower as well. But it's gaining momentum. And I would say to those of you who are a professional mid-manager, senior manager, if you're not using different tools like Perplexity and ChatGPT and knowing how to write good prompts, you need to learn how this is not going away. This is affecting how companies are doing business. I've worked with a couple of companies where their finance teams are slowly being phased out and handed over to AI solutions. And that will continue through different departments in a variety of industries. And lastly, the political economic forces, you know, it continues. But what I was talking to our managing director, Simon Gels, you know, he mentioned wisely that a lot of foreign companies are doing very well in Japan compared to their home markets like the U.S. and Europe. And Japan has been and should continue to be a good story compared to them. And that's something that SMEs can use for putting together value propositions in their hiring. So even though there's, you know, continued wage pressures that I'd spoke about, there's inflation dynamics and price increases, still, I think Japan is a viable and growing market for companies compared to many others globally, and it will continue to grow. So in short, for the year, I would say for SMEs, continue to invest in building relationships with potential candidates that you can hire, with valuable recruitment partners that can give you insights. Go local and go with people that know the Japan market, who've been here a long time, that you trust, that are specialists in your industry and or in a vertical that you are looking for. And really look to put together employer value propositions for your company. Know why your company's special, have that story, and know why talent would want to join your company versus a large enterprise company. Again, we got low unemployment. There's definitely the perception of hiring in Japan is very difficult, but job growth is there is opportunity here, even with the tight labor conditions. So that's kind of my wrap and intro for 2026. And I'm looking forward to working with you all again this year. Thank you so much for everybody's support and for partnering with me and with Focus Core over the last 15 years. We really do hope to make, you know, help companies focus on their core business. And that's very, very important as one of our values as a business. And we couldn't do that without your trust in what we do. So I thank you for that. And we look forward to continuing to assist and guide those companies again this year. And I look forward to seeing you on future episodes. Again, we're out twice a month with a variety of different topics. And if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me. I can be reached out to in the comments section. My contact details are there, as well as on LinkedIn. Happy to hear from you there as well. Thank you again, and have a healthy, happy, and prosperous 2026. I'm doing the uptown blowdown, yeah.